is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. How pleasant it is to be in the house of the Lord. And friends, if you're listening to Bible Home Church, we're having church today. And wherever you're at, you can be in a barn somewhere or driving in a car, or you can be at home. But Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst thereof. And we're with the Lord Jesus today. We're continuing our series, Judge Not? Question mark. Well, Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. What did he mean by that? It seems simple enough, but there's a lot of controversy swirling around about it. We're going to continue with part two together. I know you, like me, have been accused of being judgmental. Well, I'm going to allow you to judge me. You'll see whether I'm judgmental, and I might just judge you as a friend and a pastor, and we'll just see. Well, but before we do, we always want to have some beautiful music. You know, Sister Linda Randall sang this on the Mountain Homecoming program of Bill and Gloria Gaither. I think you're going to really enjoy it. The title of this song is God on the Mountain, Sister Linda Randall. And I'll be back with today's message right after.
When you're up on the mountain and you got peace of mind like you've never known, but things change when you're down in the valley. Don't fade, you're never alone.
For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times, the God of the day is still God in the night.
We talk the faith, we're up on the mountain, talk comes so easy. Light's at its best. Now it's down in the valleys, trials and temptations. That's where your faith is really put to the test.
For the God on the mountain,
God in the bad times.
judge not. How many times have you heard that? It's commonly batted about here in society. Everybody uses that term. Some, though, go so far as to say Jesus said, don't judge or judge not. Usually when people say that, they have no idea really what Jesus said. They don't realize, of course, this is right out of Matthew chapter 7. Well, today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7. And if we have time, some other verses as well. And we're going to ask the question, what did Jesus really mean? Did he really mean don't judge? Or is this constantly taking out of context? Christians, of course, true Christians, have always been accused of being judgmental. I was recently looking at the concordance, Strong's Concordance, and I looked up the word judge. And you know, there were pages and pages of references. I didn't count them all, but I would say there appeared to be about 1,000 times when the word judge is mentioned in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It seems like that our Father in heaven is very much interested and concerned about judging. In fact, the Bible makes clear that he is a judge. Revelation 19, verse 11, I quoted you that last week, my friends. It says, he, that is God, he doth judge and make war. A lot of people think that God is just a God of love and peace. But it says he's a judge, and he makes war. John 5, verse 30, Jesus said that he does judge, and his judgment is true. Acts 17, verse 31 says that the Lord Jesus will judge the world in righteousness. Well, we see then that God is a judge, but should we as human beings be judges? Well, I have no better source to go to than the Lord himself. You know, anytime you want to find out how to live a better life, to be a good Christian, it's necessary to go to the one book that will guide you every day, your daily guide for living, the Holy Bible. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll find exactly what Jesus said. Now, I don't like it at all when people take things out of context, and we're going to go over this entire chapter because I want you to understand, this is one of the most significant, profound, and powerful chapters in the world. In the Bible, certainly it's in the whole world too, about judging, whether or not we should judge. So we want to start right off with Jesus' words. He said, judge not that ye be not judged. That's verse 1. Now that's what all the hypocrites like to throw at you. Judge not lest, or that ye be not judged. But they don't want to continue in that chapter. In fact, they're probably, if they knew this chapter, the hypocrites are afraid to death you might read it and really understand what Jesus meant. Because in verse 2, we continue with these words of Christ. He says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. Now this is a warning then from Christ. He said, if you judge, you know, the same judgment you mete out to others, the same measure, that means the same kind of standards you apply to others will be applied to you. Then we continue with verse 3. Jesus said, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Verse 4 says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. You see, many people judge others, but they're guilty of the same thing, the same sin, the same fault themselves. And you know, a mote is just a little piece or an object, a little item, a little bit of matter. Have you ever had something in your eye, my friends? It could be a little speck of dust, a little speck of sand. Oh, it can just irritate you, can it? But imagine if you had a whole beam. Have you seen a whole beam before, like a big railroad tie? A huge piece of wood or metal that's stuck in your eye? Can you imagine? Well, why do you complain about the little bit of matter, the little piece of sand or something in the other person? And you say, hey, you've got a little fault here. Let me take care of that for you. I know best. I've judged you and you've got a little mote in your eye. And Jesus said, look in your own eye. You've got a huge piece of matter in there. In other words, you're much worse off in terms of sin than the brother or sister you seek to correct. I've always found usually the preacher correctors in a church are the ones that have the most sin. I really have. It's an amazing thing to me. Well, Jesus just plain put it very bluntly in verse 5. He says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then, oh, get this, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now let's talk about verse 5 there of chapter 7. You see, the world, not knowing Christ and living in sin, is quick to cast the first stone at Christians. Oh, yes. If they can catch you in some fault or sin, they'll say, see there? Sister Josephine, look at her. She's got a mote in her eye. Hey, Brother John there, look at him. Oh, he's supposed to be such a good Christian, but look at that sinning he's doing. Oh, I've caught him in this or that. Maybe you've had a little temper problem and you got angry at someone and you said something you shouldn't and they said, and you say you're a Christian? Oh, they love to just rub it in, don't they? Well, you see, these people are hypocrites. Now, please understand, I do believe we should walk with Jesus and we should be as much like Jesus as we can and lead a Christ-like life. But these people, are they not hypocrites? They're living lives of sin. They're unrighteous, headed straight for hell, decadent, full of debauchery and evil, unpure thoughts. But they're quick to judge you. They're hypocrites. Now, Jesus says, if you're a hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you can clearly see the mote that is in your brother's eye. Now, notice something there. He didn't say disregard the fault or the sin of the brother. He didn't say that. In fact, he said, you first cast out the beam out of your eye, and that will then allow you to see clearly to cast out the mote from your brother's eye. You see, if you're not living a life of cleanness and purity and holiness, you're not going to have any discernment. You're not going to be able to judge and exercise righteous judgment. I've always found it true that anybody who has bad doctrine in a church, and I'm talking about pastors and elders and deacons and so forth, I've always found out if the pastor preaches bad, incorrect doctrine from the pulpit, he's probably living a life of sin. You see, it all goes together, my friends. You can't stay doctrinally pure. You can't even discern what the scriptures mean while you're living a life of sin. So many people have told me, said, you know, Tex, I read the Bible 20 times over when I was a sinner before I was saved. But I never really understood it, but just words. A lot of these Bible translators of these new versions, they can tell you what all the words of the Bible say. They even claim to know the Hebrew and the Greek, but they don't know what they mean. They don't understand the words. They have no discernment because, you see, their eye is full of impurities. And remember, my friends, God has made it so that your eye is simply reflecting what your brain has already translated. Did you know that? A lot of people think they're seeing what they're seeing. But what you see, my friend, goes to your brain and your brain interprets what you're seeing. Now, to make this very clear, let's go to verse 6. It's very appropriate. The number 6, the number of evil, even the number of the beast. I believe that God gave us this to let you know something. It says, Jesus said in verse 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Now, he's just said, you hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to cast it out of your brother's eye. He's telling you, it's okay to judge your brother, but do so based on the purity of truth. And you can't see purely, you can't see clearly, you can't discern what is true and what is right when your mind is full of garbage. Because, my friends, what you see is garbage. And it becomes garbled garbage. But if your mind and your heart are full of holiness, then what you see in the world will be reflected and you will understand and discern. And then, with that discernment, that judgment, because that's what discerning really is, my friends, is to judge between good and evil. You see, God wants you to judge between good and evil. And when you judge, then God says you must make a decision between good and evil. And he says, don't give that which is holy to the dogs. You say, well, I love Fido. Well, I don't think God is talking about that kind of a dog, my friends. He's talking about human beings there. He's talking about devils there. That's just a word that has application to evil people and evil beings. A lot of people give that which is holy unto the dogs, and they shouldn't. A lot of people cast their pearls before swine. Now I want to ask you a question, my friends. How do you know who are the dogs? How do you know who are the swine? If you don't judge between people. A lot of people don't understand why there's some people I just won't have anything to do with. I really won't. I don't want anything to do with them. Let me tell you something, my friends. This may seem funny to you. It may seem crazy. It may seem insane. But I believe it's scriptural. I'd rather go in a bar room full of drunkards and prostitutes than to go and attend a church service of a bunch of hypocrites. People who don't even love the Lord Jesus, who are putting on a show. And most churches are like that today. I want to say it again. I would rather go in a place full of drunkards and prostitutes than a church full of self-righteous hypocrites. Watching an educational program on television, Fox News Channel, a little while back, and there was a man. I know him as a Freemason. He's head of a group called Americans United for Separation of Church and State. I believe, my opinion is, he's a hater of God and Christianity. This is the man that he and his lawyers and his big Masonic organization constantly are bringing lawsuits against Christians and churches. This man named Barry Lynn, he's demanding that the Ten Commandments come off the walls of the schools. He says we should not be allowed to pray at sporting events, you know, football games of high schools and basketball games and so forth. No prayer in schools. And you know, the man is a reverend. He's a Baptist pastor, he claims. But he's fighting hard to strip all vestiges of Jesus from society. And when he was asked about the strange thing that he was a minister, he said, I believe in prayer. I prayed just yesterday with my son. But I don't believe in prayer at sporting events and in schools. And blah, blah, blah. And I don't believe the Ten Commandments should be. Let me tell you something, my friends. This man is an evil hypocrite. And I believe he's a spiritual liar. Am I judging him? You better believe it. And I want nothing to do with this man. He is a swine. He is a dog. And I'd rather associate with tax collectors, prostitutes and drunkards. You know, it's been my experience, my friend, that many drunkards and prostitutes know they're living a life of sin. And I believe it's easier to preach to such people than a reprobate pastor of a Methodist or a Baptist or Episcopal or a Catholic church. That's right. It's easier to preach to them because they know they're convicted and they know they're living a life of sin. I remember Glenn Campbell, the country singer. He was into drugs and alcohol and bad living, and he was asked, how did you get out of that? Because now he says he's given his life back to Jesus. He said, well, I went home. And there I was, he said, I was taking drugs and drinking and having wild flings with women and all kinds of things and couldn't think straight, wasn't living for Christ. He says, my mother came up to me. She looked me in the eye and she says, Glenn, you know you're not doing what's right. Simple as that. You know you're not doing what's right. He said, oh, I was so convicted when my mother told me that. Now, mother, how about you? Do you have a child that's a prodigal son or daughter? Maybe the problem is you just haven't gone to him and told him, daughter, you're not doing what's right. Son, you're not doing what's right. Or, son or daughter, do you have a prodigal parent? A mother or a father. Now, I believe you're to honor them. But one way to honor them is to go to them in love and say, Mom, I love you, but you're not doing what's right. Dad, I love you, but you're not doing what's right if they're not living for Jesus. And tell them you love them and you want them to do what's right. You want them to be in heaven with you forever and ever. You see, if you don't love them, you're happy for them to go to hell. I think that's when you really don't honor your parents. Some people say to me, you must not love the Jews and others of other religions because you say they're going to go to hell if they don't believe in Jesus. I said, no, my friend, you don't understand. That would be a sign that I have no love for these people if I did not preach to them. I want them to be there in heaven with me. I want the former Hindu to love Jesus like I do. I want him to be up there with me before the throne. I want the Jew who rejects Jesus, I want him to get on his knees and accept my Lord and Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ, so he can be with me. If you want to be with people, you don't hate them. You love them. You say, well, you're judgmental. You're judging him. Yes, I'm judging him by the standards of the Scripture. Jesus said, if you don't believe that I'm he, God, you will die in your sins. And I want everyone to know that. Because God will be their judge if they reject him. In fact, by their own words and actions, they themselves are judging themselves. But is it your place, Tex Mars, to judge others? Yes, it is. If the Scriptures tell me to do so. If I do not judge, how do I know what is holy? What if I defy God and give the things that are holy to the dogs? What if I defy God and cast my pearls before swine? Well, let me tell you what they're going to do. You see, this has happened to me in the distant past. I did indeed cast my pearls before swine. And let me tell you what they did to me. They turned around, they rended me, and they trampled me under their feet. I've had some people that God said, don't associate with that person. And you know, I questioned God. I said, well, God, surely you're wrong. They're not that bad of a person. God said, don't associate with that person. Had that urging in my heart. You know, I associated with them anyway, and I always end up getting, horribly treated by that person. Sometimes God doesn't want you to befriend a certain person. You say, boy, Tex, that's just terrible for you to say such things. God befriended all those sinners. I'm not saying he didn't. But you know, there were some that he just wouldn't have anything to do with. Remember he told the disciples, go to those cities and if they reject you, just shake the dust off your feet and leave. And he told Jonah, you go to Nineveh and you preach to them. You see, my friend, that was Jonah's duty. God handles the consequences. But Jonah had his duty. Well, next week we're going to discuss this more. We're going to, for example, talk about the straight gate. Should Christians be narrow-minded? I believe they should. I really believe they should be as narrow as possible. And we're going to look into that next week here on Bible Home Church as we continue our series, Judge Not? This is Pastor Tex Mars. I hope you'll be with me again next week as we continue to exalt our Lord Jesus and to praise His name.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.